43. Spirit Applied Reckoning. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. John 14, verse 26, and chapter 16, verse 4. The Helper, the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus chose the perfect designation in introducing the Holy Spirit as our helper or comforter. Even in our sin, he comforts us. True, he convicts us of sin. And Holy Spirit conviction can be intense. But he does so in order to point us to the blood that ever cleanses us from all sin and to the Lord Jesus, who is the propitiation for our sins, the one who ever lives to make intercession for us. We read about this in 1 John 1:7, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. The enemy condemns us when we sin and seeks to crush us under the weight of guilt. But the Comforter doesn't condemn. He convicts so that we might confess and be cleansed from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. When it comes to reckoning, we need the Holy Spirit as our comforter more than ever. We are quite surprised when we begin to realise how much suffering is involved in reckoning. We cannot reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin without experiencing the deep inner crucifixion of the cross as it is applied to the self-life. The dual truth on which the Spirit has us reckon is that which he makes experiential in our lives. First, we count on having died to sin and are always delivered unto sin as the outworking of that position of death. Secondly, we count on being alive to God in Christ. And the Spirit causes the life also of Jesus to be made manifest in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 11. All spiritual growth entails a lifelong process. We have an infinite Lord as our life, to whose image we are being conformed by the eternal Spirit. Our dire need causes us to long for and expect immediate emancipation and newness of life as a result of our reckoning. To a degree, the Spirit complies with this expectation during our early encounter with identification, but he must bring us into the process of growth. Consider the pattern of the Mount of Transfiguration experience. Although Peter, James, and John were given the glorious privilege of beholding the Lord Jesus transfigured, each one had to come down from the mount. The Lord Jesus and Peter going to crosses, James to the sword, and John to exile in lonely Patmos. The same principle applies to us. We're given a glimpse of the glory and the reality of truth reckoned on. And then we are taken into God's processing so that the truth may be as real in us as it is to us. Through his purposeful dealing with us, our objective reckoning on the truth becomes subjective experience in our lives. As we count on our old man having been crucified at Calvary and our having died to sin on the cross, we become progressively cross-centered Christians. As we count on our new life in the Lord Jesus, we develop into Christ-centered Christians. The path of the cross is the path of growth. In our failures, we learn more of what self is and thereby come to hate the natural Adamic life. Then it is that we are taught to glory in the cross, by which we are freed from the old life's influence, as well as the grip and the lure of the world. In Galatians 6:14, we read the following: God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. awakening is the only means of escaping the entanglements of this world. It takes the separation of the cross and our abiding in Christ. As the Holy Spirit applies the cross within, he takes us through difficulties and chastenings. We must face up to the fact that the cross has only suffering and death as its ministry. And when we realise that always delivered unto death means the daily crucifixion of self, we begin to glory in the resultant freedom. Hebrews 12:11 says this: "Now no chastening," that is child training, "no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." If we are going to receive the benefit of the cross, we must go through the suffering of the cross. That is where we come to know and appreciate the Holy Spirit as our comforter. He comforts us in our very crucifixion that he applies. And we learn to glory in the cross that crucifies. The work of the cross causes us to rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:3. He will teach you all things. It is often the case that hungry believers, needy as they know themselves to be, are more eager for the experience than for the revelation. They want a minimum of truth and study with a maximum of results. But the more experience-centred those believers become, the less truth established they will be. The penalty of this wrong emphasis is self-centeredness instead of Christ-centeredness. This sad and selfish condition develops when we endeavour to handle and control the truth that we see. But the truth of the word does not respond to self. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this: "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." As we study, we are to rest in the Spirit of life in Christ. The Lord Jesus said, "The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth," John 16:13. There are those who even go as far as to attempt to use the Spirit. They want the Holy Spirit to give them power and many other self-centered experiences and blessings. The Holy Spirit does not respond to such unholy aspirations, though. "He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you." In all the vital work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, his intention and purpose is to glorify the Son in the individual members. The Lord Jesus prayed to his Father and said, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." John 17:9-10. How is he glorified in redeemed sinners? Our new birth means that each one of us is a new creation in Christ, at which time the Comforter enters our spirit to abide forever. John 14:16. Spirit to spirit joined, the Holy Spirit to our spirit, and we are partakers of the divine nature. At birth we are babes in Christ, but as we grow in him, we develop the likeness of life, thus glorifying the Son. The Holy Spirit receives the life of Christ and brings him into our regenerated spirit. For that life to develop within, he reveals to us the Lord Jesus in the Word of God, thus feeding on him in the Scriptures, under the illumination of the Holy Spirit of truth, The new life in Christ grows and is made manifest in our mortal body. We grow in him as we allow the Holy Spirit to show him to us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this: "We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." In the midst of finding out about ourselves, we are to be especially aware of what we are in our Lord Jesus Christ. While the Spirit must cause us suffering in the crucifixion of the self-life, he comforts us in our growth in the new life. In James 5, verses 10 and 11, this is what we read: "Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have suffered in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." As we turn from the old man by reckoning on the work of the cross, we turn to the new man in Christ by reckoning on the work of the Spirit. Gradually, as we grow, there are less and less works of the flesh evident, and more of the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our daily walk. Galatians 5, 19 and 22. What comfort there is in the faithful work of the Comforter. In the natural realm, a worm is changed into a butterfly, a different creature, but of the same order of life. In the spiritual realm, a believer is reborn, a totally new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, we yield ourselves into God as those that are alive from the dead, and in dependence on the Comforter, we walk in newness of life." Romans 6:13. And chapter 6, verse 4.